Welcome to The Pulpit, the sermon podcast of Calvary Moravian Church. My name is Pastor Chaz Snyder, and I hope you'll use this recording to grow deeper in God's Word and help you on your spiritual journey.
Today's Old Testament reading is from Genesis, chapter 45, verses 1 through 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have. I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him." Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. The gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, chapter 15, verses 10 through 28. "And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' He answered, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and so passes on? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man.' And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and cried, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon.' But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is crying after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'It is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' She said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered her, 'O woman, "Great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I want to start this morning by thanking you all for having me here today. It's been a real pleasure to be with you all this morning, and so thank you so much. So I wonder if you have ever sat and really thought about your family, including your more distant ancestors. I imagine that most of us in this room have at least one really good story. Stories about love, marriage, moving, working, going to school, meeting a future spouse for the first time? Have you ever turned that story over and over in your mind, wondering how that story contributed to your life, to your very existence? Or what if those people had made different choices? What would have happened? And what will happen in the future, when the results of your choices in your life come to fruition? What will be the impact on future generations? So a few years ago, I attended a funeral for my great-grandfather's wife. Now, she had three children. It's complicated, so just bear with me. And my great-grandfather had seven children from a previous marriage. And those children had children. And those children had children. And those children had children. And I brought my own son to this funeral. And it wasn't bad as funerals go. It was family only. So the funeral home employees had set up about 30 chairs. But then it quickly became apparent that there would be close to 100 people attending, and they had to scramble to add more chairs. So I remember sitting there thinking about this, and I remember having the thought wow, things escalate really quickly when you have so many children. And it's funny, and it's scary, and it's complicated, because that's how family is. With that many people and so many moving parts, anything can happen. And I think that's borne out in today's reading, in the Genesis reading today. We read about Joseph's family. And if you're familiar with Joseph's story, you might know that he is part of a large family. There are 12 boys and one sister, and their family moves around a lot. They tend flocks of sheep and goats. And the father, Jacob, he has a soft spot for Joseph. Joseph is his favorite, and everybody knows it. The other siblings can tell, and they resent Joseph. But in addition to their father's favoritism, Joseph has a special gift. He has prophetic dreams and the ability to interpret dreams. So all his brothers pretty much hate him. And Joseph, despite his brothers' hatred, decides to tell them about a particular dream. in which all the other brothers bow down to Joseph. And the telling of that dream tips the scales for the brothers, and they make a decision that will impact their family for generations. They get rid of Joseph. They capture him, and they sell him. They sell him to some passing traders who are on their way to Egypt. And in their minds, that's the end of Joseph. They don't expect to see him ever again. They tell their father he died. They go so far as to dip his clothes in animal blood and say, oh, a beast got him. But Joseph didn't die. In fact, he flourishes. When he probably should have died, he still has his dreams and he can still interpret them. The skill provides him the leverage he needs to rise to one of the most powerful positions in Egypt. And Joseph correctly predicts a famine. And as that famine settles over the whole region, food becomes scarce. But because of Joseph, Egypt has abundance in the midst of scarcity, which leads to the fulfillment of that dream we just talked about. Joseph's brothers arrive in Egypt and come before Joseph, who they don't recognize because, remember, in their minds, he's dead. They come before Joseph, bowing down before him, and they want to buy the food. And I wonder how many times Joseph has been in this position. There are people bowing down to him, and he sells them food. I imagine at this point it's old hat. And so I wonder, as he was in that room that day, what alerted him to the fact that this group was different? That this group is strangely familiar. I wonder what detail caught his attention and caused him to look again and realize, those are my brothers. Joseph's whole life in Egypt was built on his gifts. But it wasn't the life that he was supposed to have. And I mean that when he was a baby, his parents dreamed that he would live a life like theirs. He was supposed to be on the other side of this transaction. He was supposed to be standing there with his brothers, coming before a ruler, asking to buy food. Of course, it was all his brothers' fault. They meant for him to disappear forever. But he didn't, and now his worlds are colliding. So today's text is the most dramatic and emotional scene between Joseph and the brothers. It's not the first one, however. This is actually the third time that the brothers have appeared before Joseph. So he initially sends them away with a little grain and a command to return with his brother Benjamin. And I feel like Joseph probably needed a little time to process, but he also had a purpose in asking for Benjamin. He wants to test his brothers, so when they come back with Benjamin, he has a little plan. He plants a cup in Benjamin's bag, basically framing Benjamin for theft. And I think he wanted to see, what will they do? Will they abandon Benjamin the way they abandoned me? How would they respond? They do not abandon Benjamin. The brothers implore Joseph to let Benjamin go. And one of them even offers himself as a replacement. Let him go and keep me. Give me the punishment you are going to give him. And this speech is what causes Joseph to weep. To weep so loudly that the people he sent out of the room can still hear him. Because this is the way his brothers should have treated him all those years ago. And now he has a choice. He's revealed himself to them, and he has to decide, what am I going to do? So he responds to the events in front of him the way he would respond to a dream. He interprets the events that have occurred and that are occurring right in front of him. He knows how most people would interpret his life. He knows that most people would choose revenge. But he chooses to see God's hand at work in his life. This is important because, unlike other stories in Genesis, Joseph doesn't meet God face to face. He doesn't have a direct experience of God. Even in dreams, remember, Joseph's dreams have to be interpreted. God doesn't appear to him in a dream and say, do this, do that. It all has to be interpreted. In fact, God does not appear in this story until Joseph invokes God. Until Joseph says, God sent me before you to preserve life. So Joseph is looking at these events and he sees how the outcome does not match the action. His brothers meant to kill him, but instead he became the most powerful person, one of the most powerful people in the world. And in the space between the choice and the unlikely outcome, Joseph sees God's work. And Joseph chooses to join God in that work. Imagine if he had said, nope, I can't do it. The pain is too fresh. I cannot forgive these people. Imagine if he had just refused to sell them the grain. Would they have died? Would the line of the Hebrew patriarchs shriveled away? Would the Jewish people as we know them exist today? Maybe, maybe not. I'm sure God would have had to work a whole lot harder if Joseph had made a different choice. But Joseph chose to join God in this work. And I think this is important because in my life, things are a lot more like Joseph than like Abraham. God has yet to show up at my house for dinner, or appear to me in a dream, or challenge me to a wrestling match. In today's world, most of us have a faith like Joseph's. The challenge for us is to choose faith, to partner with God, even when God's work may not be obvious, even when we could get along just fine, maybe even a little bit easier if we chose to just ignore God. But I always have to wonder, what does cooperation with God look like for me? What would it look like for you in your life? What events are you interpreting? What are you trying to make sense of? And where can you see God at work in your life? Maybe you're not sure. That's okay. But I hope that when you get the chance, that you join in with God's work. Will you pray with me, please? God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence and your work within us and around us. Help us to see you in the work you are doing and have done. Amen.